right, welcome back to Res Ed Chat, everyone. My name is Paul Brown, and I am happy to have a few guests join us for our podcast episode today. As a reminder, Res Ed Chat is Room Pack's podcast series, which is basically a digital variety hour talking about issues of importance to housing and residence life professionals and the field of student affairs as a whole. But today I have two wonderful folks with me, both from Marshall University, an institution I've had the pleasure of visiting once before, Sarah Francis and Amy, here to talk a little bit about their initiative that they had regarding a thrift store and opening up a green move out in terms of campus and dealing with a lot of the waste that occurs out of residence halls when students move in and out of them with such frequency. So welcome, Amy and Sarah Francis. How are you all today?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
Yeah. I know it's been a rough semester for many people. I'm sure that has also impacted you as well. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So many people down staff and trying to figure things out, layer COVID on top of that, as well as dealing with, I think another interesting thing is people have been saying, it's almost like having two first year classes because the previous class maybe didn't have the traditional experience. And so all the wonderful issues that arise with new first year students navigating campus seems to be happening in double.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this thrift store a little bit. Why don't you just give some introductions of yourself? Why don't we start first with you, Sarah Francis, and just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I am Sarah Francis Lyon. I work in housing and residence life at Marshall University. And my job is really the bridge between the students in the residence halls and resources on campus. So I do a lot with strategic partnerships, networking, and then I also oversee our residential curriculum and assessment. And then Amy, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and kind of talk about how we got together on this. And
yeah, so I'm Amy Parsons White. I'm the sustainability manager on campus. And so my job focuses around the triple bottom line. So we have environment and then social equity, as well as fiscal responsibility. So we oversee programs that combine all three. And that's how the thrift store kind of came along. I was on the committee for move out and realized that there were a lot of things being thrown away, which is an environmental hazard. But not only that, the university was spending a lot of money to have all of that shipped off to a landfill. So being here in Southern West Virginia, we have a lot of poverty, a lot of first-generation college students, and a lot of students that come with little or nothing to fill in their residence hall, their room. And so I started researching what we could do to kind of solve all three of these problems and came across another university that had started a thrift store. And I started looking at it and I thought, you know, this is the perfect triple bottom line solution.
Yeah, it hits everything.
Yeah. So I reached out to Sarah Francis and she was just as excited as I was. And I think the rest is history, which it did take a lot of work because it was just before COVID. We were ready to get things going. And we were planning to have our first big green move out so that students could donate in May. And Sarah Francis called me one day and said, we have an issue. Move out is tomorrow. So it was moved up to March.
And it's March, right?
Yes, right. It was in March. So after we both calmed down and found a space to store things, we just kind of made it work somehow. We got the donations, the students were excited, and we stored the items for a while, found a space, and then this semester we were able to open up a brick and mortar store.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely amazing some of the things that students will leave behind. Lightly used, maybe even sometimes in the box. I mean, I remember when I lived in a residence hall and it would move out and be like, I've actually heard, I'm sure you have, I'm pretty sure you probably haven't encountered this one, but I have a good friend that works at a university in Dubai. Mm-hmm. And their students have a lot of means. And so they actually have to deal with abandoned cars.
Yeah.
At the end of a year, where soon it'll be like, I bought the car to use while I was living here. Now I don't need it anymore. And then I just leave it behind. Yeah, if you move to Dubai, maybe you can have a thrift store used car lot. I don't know. So it's kind of, from what you're describing, it's kind of almost, it's multiple initiatives in one, right? Like,
yes.
First you've got some aspects of this green move out that of course then led to the thrift store of what do we do with this stuff. Can you talk a little bit about how you organize that green move out? Like, are there certain things that you don't collect, maybe like cars, but other things? And how did you kind of organize that and engage the students on exactly what this is?
Yeah. So that I would say is the piece that really fell on Housing and Residence Life to sort of figure out, and frankly, very quickly. When Amy and I first met, it was January 2020, where we were like super pumped, like, oh my gosh, this is great. We're going to do this initiative. Suddenly it was March, you know, COVID happened. We know the rest of that story. For me, I had worked at a previous institution where I was in charge of their donation process, which was George Washington University in DC. And so for 2 years, I got to help with that process. And that was really where I was like, this is a huge issue, because those students had a lot similar to, you know, the students in Dubai, and were just throwing out so much stuff. And then when I moved back to Huntington 4 years ago, I was like, this is still a huge issue. And on top of that, there's a huge student need. So I worked with NRHH and RHA to really come up with, what do we want this to look like? In a non-COVID year, they're the ones that are actually kind of overseeing the day-to-day of it. They created like the signage for it. They would check, we had our big like move-in bins that we use. We would leave those in the lobbies and have signage that said like, you know, donations for the thrift store. And then next to that, we had donations for the food pantry. So anything that, you know, the food pantry could take, or anything, if we had students that were staying for like winter break or summer housing, we would let them kind of have first dibs on that if they needed that. And then everything else would go to the food pantry. So we split it like that. Everything else we've accepted, we've been able to accept things that like other entities can't accept. So like mattress pads that have been used, I know that's one that a lot of entities can't take. We accept those, and students are so thrilled to get to have those. Like, I remember this when we opened, a student was like, wait, I could take this. And we were like, yeah, like take it.
It's yours.
Yeah, it's yours. It's yours. So that's been really cool. Logistically, it's pretty easy. It's just, we need a lot of physical labor. So we have, I would say, 2 to 3 move out or move in carts per building. And then those have to be exchanged every day to every 2 days, for empty carts. And we then put the stuff in, you know, like our classrooms or storage closets, kind of wherever we have room, until move out is over. And then we have to get a box truck, and pickup trucks and those bins into them to then go over to where our actual brick and mortar location is. And then everything gets sorted through.
Got it. So I've seen online, we'll post in kind of the show notes here, some like links and whatnot, but I've seen online that you actually have a thrift store presence. It looks like more towards the downtown part there, like a storefront.
Yes.
How did you go about securing that kind of like location or choosing that location? I mean, I've been to your campus, so I do know that the city kind of does suffer from a lot of vacant storefronts, which I think is a great use of that and kind of community engagement. But how did you come about that space and kind of set it up?
Yeah, Amy, you want to talk about it?
Sure. So the university owns that building. It's actually located right across the street from Old Main, the large administration building on campus. So it's pretty much right on campus. And that building actually is slated for demolition in 2 years. And so when it came open, we had been looking for a place for the store. So I went to the vice president and the space committee and said, you know, I know that it's going to be torn down, but it's the perfect location now. And I believe that once students see it and they get used to the store being here, it's in such a visible location with a lot of traffic going through that once we have to move, they'll follow us. The students will follow us wherever we go. And they agreed and allowed us to move into the space. So we'll have that space for 2 years. And so we're already on the hunt for another space, which we would actually need anyway, because we actually outgrew it by the end of the very first week.
Wow.
We have overflow, which is a very good problem to have. But we're looking for a place that's actually on campus and not even across the street, something very accessible for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes total sense. That makes total sense. How does the thrift store work? So if I'm a student or an individual that needs to access the items, how does that work out? How do I get to them? Does it cost? What does that look like?
So we, at first we were going to give everything away all the time. And we decided that students would see that as charity and a lot of students wouldn't go. So what we ended up doing, we have reusable bags. And so the reusable bags, they can purchase one when they come in for $3 using herd points. And that's how we make sure that only our students are using them. They can go online, put herd points on their ID. And so it's $3 for a reusable bag. They can fill it full of anything that can fit in it. And honestly, if they want to throw a coat over their shoulder, that's fine too.
Yeah.
When they return to shop again, if they have that reusable bag, they can fill it for $1. So it's really to keep from wasting plastic bags. And it's not free, but it's pretty much free. And of course, if someone came in and said, I don't have $3, we would give them a bag.
You'd work on that. Yeah.
Yeah, we can work that out. So yeah, it's they just get to refill their bag and you know, and we only use herd points, and it seems to be working really well.
Nice, nice. What kind of items there are in the store? So if I walk in the store, obviously I think there's some like soft goods, right? Like maybe perhaps even clothing or things like that, but what other things do you commonly see, or what are the most sought after items? I guess this would be an interesting question to ask.
Amy, I was thinking mannequins. Oh. That was the we purchased just for a little bit of fun. We purchased these two mannequins to display because we have huge windows in the front.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. The students came in, they were like, everything's free, I want the mannequins. And we were like, no, like state funding, like we can't give you the mannequins. But I would say, like, I noticed during our soft opening, there was a lot of what students are now calling vintage clothing. So bell bottoms and, you know, ripped jeans and like stuff from the 90s or like early 2000s. That's like the clothing items they were really wanting. And then I would say a lot of like comforters, just general bedding. And one of the things that was also really cool that we were able to do was do feminine products in the store, as well as like body wash and like those sorts of items. So students were really excited to take those as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I was surprised at how quickly we had a setup of brooms and dustpans and cleaning supplies.
Yeah.
Those were gone in minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't make it through the first hour of us being open. But I think that those are the kind of things that a lot of students, especially first time students, they don't think about.
Yeah.
When they're planning what to bring to their dorm. I was kind of surprised at the number of freshmen that came in that got sheets and comforters, because they didn't think about bringing sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're first gen, they don't realize that their bed isn't made when they come in.
Yeah.
which, yeah, seems silly, but it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes total sense.
Yeah. We also had a good portion of international students. We used to have a partnership where with a program that helped us to recruit international students, and that partnership has since been dissolved. So we had international students who had come previous years, and when they would arrive, they would get this bag of, you know, like bed linens, comforter, like kind of the works of what they needed for their room. And they were like, oh, where's my, you know, like my bag of stuff. We were like, oh, you know, we're sorry, we don't have that. However, the thrift store is opening in 2 days. Like, we'd love to see you there. And those students came and got everything they needed. And we're so excited. Like, they did multiple trips, but like 4 blocks from like the residence halls to the thrift store, and just took what they needed. And we're excited to get to like pick out like the colors they liked, the, you know, patterns and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been talking about, you know, low income or first gen students, but I think international students is another high population, right? Because there are also the people I think that are most likely to have to leave things behind. Because if I'm going flying back to my country, I'm not going to bring a comforter and this and that. But then when I arrive, I don't necessarily have access to it, or I have to buy it wholly new rather than bring something from home. So that makes total sense to me that an international population, that's going to be an acute need for them.
Yeah, well, and also just access for students who don't have vehicles on campus. Mm. We have like a CVS right across the street, but they, you know, don't sell bedding or a lot of like home good type stuff. The closest Walmart is like a 10-minute drive. Target's like a 15 to 20 minute drive. So there's a lot of students who, you know, don't have the ability and don't know the town well enough when they first moved in, that they could go get the things that they'd forgotten. And it's really nice to say, have an RA say, oh, you need this. The thrift store's open at 3 o'clock. Let's walk over together. Like, I'll take you there. I'll show you everything. And you can just take what you need.
Yeah. What are the hours of the thrift store? How do you staff it, or how does that work?
The hours are Monday through Friday, 11 to 5. And one of my employees, he's actually has just graduated. He's a business major. He runs it. He's the store manager. And then we have work study students staff it as well.
Great. Yeah. What a good opportunity too for like a business student or someone that wants experience managing a space, right?
That's what we're hoping to do in the future as we expand, is bring in business school interns that can run the store, maybe do the finances, that kind of thing, as a learning experience.
We also have a partnership with the social work department, where they, for the last 2 years, have been sending us students to do their capstone project. And they kind of just come to us, and the first year it was like, hey, we need help moving the stuff and organizing it. And so they kind of set up the first shop. And then this past year, or this current semester, I guess, they've been working on marketing and social media, and just kind of giving us like ideas on, you know, what they would notice from a student lens. So it's a lot of, I would say, just like bridging these gaps of, oh, you have this interest or this passion, we have this need, or, you know, oh, you're seeing a need that we haven't identified yet. And then working with this other group, or entity to fulfill that need. So that's been really neat as well, is just seeing how many people in the community want to be a part of this, and want to just like help students. And I know Amy's fielding calls like every day, having community members saying, hey, can I donate to it? So it's just really incredible to get to bridge all of those gaps together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And going back to the business school, they have a program where they, set up business students with suits to go to job interviews and that kind of thing. And they usually work with another nonprofit here in town, but they were still in need. And we had 3 community members bring suits in just the week before. So, you know, we were able to reach out and say, we have 3 racks full of really nice suits. It's great that the community is excited about it. They're donating, and a lot of our students from, you know, all walks of life, all different majors, are getting the opportunity to use it.
Yeah.
And what's really neat about like that specific instance, when we were setting up the store this summer, we decided we weren't going to gender the clothing. And so we just have like racks that say small, medium, large, you know, XL, or whatever. And students will come in and say, oh, where are the men's clothing? And we're like, well, they're like, everything's right here. And we've seen a lot of students really take to that system, and just really enjoy that, you know, clothing doesn't have a gender. And so why are we assigning it one? It has a number that's still arbitrary. But they've really liked being able to shop that way too.
Yeah. I've had a lot of students comment on that, when I've been over at the store, just, oh my gosh, it's so cool that I can come in here and buy the clothes I want and not feel like I'm in the wrong section or that someone's going to judge me for being in this section. And so, yeah, I love to, you know, everybody's really happy with that.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome. What are your plans for the future? I mean, we've hinted at that, mentioned it kind of along the way, but what are you thinking about as kind of like some future directions now that you've got your kind of feet under you and figured a few things out?
Well, I would say one of the things Amy and I actually met this morning to talk about was a partnership with another institution in the area. So Mount West Community and Technical College is the 2-year college in town. And, you know, working with them to let their students be able to come and get things from the thrift store that they need, because they don't have the physical space for a thrift store, but they have students in need. And those students are still Huntington, you know, community members. So working on that partnership is definitely something we're working towards. And then for me, one of the things I do is I work with our offices of student support and student success. And so if there is a student who is in need of, you know, a winter coat, we now, you know, have partners that know they can call Amy or I, and, you know, we'll either meet the student over at the store or open the store or have, you know, Logan, the store manager, meet with them and just let them take what they need. We've had a couple students in the past year have full house fires, and lose everything. And so we know that when that occurs next time, we have a system in place to support them. So those are the things that we're working to expand on at this point. At least for me. Amy, you want to talk about like our big ultimate plan?
your plan for thrift store domination?
Right. Yes. Yes. Well, I think right now, what I would like to see happen, what we're working on is more student interaction. You know, how can we use this as a way to get students more involved and just to get the word out there? We had a fashion show the day before the grand opening. So we were out on the quad and we had the runway set up and all these models going while we gave fashion facts. And so that was incredible. A lot of students showed up for that and didn't realize what all the fast fashion industry did to people and the planet. So that was fun. So we want to do more of that. We're talking about, you know, costume contests for Halloween, that kind of thing, so that people, just to get people in the store and more aware. And I think once we start that, that will open up, you know, the long-term goal of expanding and having things on campus that everyone needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing I love about this idea is it accomplishes a lot of goals, like even all the other pieces that you're talking about in terms of that come out of it, like, oh, and it's an educational opportunity. Oh, and it's this, and oh, it can help this population. Like, I think the beauty of this is there's so many things that this are connected with this, and there's so many things it helps with or other ways it engages the campus to kind of come together. That's, I think, the beauty of this. You know, it's not just it does this one thing and it does it for this group and it's done, but there's so many things you're doing with it. I just think it's so amazing. It's great. If I were a campus listening to this, what advice would you give me? What to do, and probably also, as you've learned, what not to do? If I want to go down this path, what's the advice you would give to me?
So I love institutional curriculum. Like, that's a huge part of what I do and what I love doing. And I would say start with the needs of your specific institution. So our institution, we have a very specific student population and state population. And we started with that. And when we put that at the forefront of what we were doing, things made a lot more sense. And it also, like on the days when things didn't make sense, it reminded us what our why was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, stay true to what the mission is of the work that you're doing. And then I would say strategic partnerships are really important with this project. So, you know, figuring out like, who do you need at the table? And how can you do it? Honestly, like we don't spend a ton of money on this project. It is a lot of passion hours though. And a lot of labor. And so, you know, figuring out who you want at the table for those things, that's really important.
Yeah. Student involvement, get as many students as involved as possible. And two, if you need to sell it to administration, you know, our Green Move Out, the very first one that was just kind of thrown together in a day, we saved 50% on waste haul during that move out compared to the previous move out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's great. We're giving back to the students, but the university can also save money. This is a win for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. And it costs very little money to keep sustained because everything is donated coming in.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, maybe do some data gathering. What do you have? What are students throwing out? How much are you spending on waste haul? And then one thing I think that we learned is make sure you have your space in place before you start taking donations. We had it stored in different places all over campus there for a while because we didn't have a place to put it. But yes, get your space, you know, where students will know it, where it is, and have that in place before you take donations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lesson learned.
That makes total sense to me. I used to work at American University in Washington, D.C., and space was always at a premium at that institution.
Oh, yes.
And so we would, I mean, we'd shove furniture and like these spaces that just weren't intended to do anything and anywhere we could do it. It sounds like you had to figure or navigate that a little bit of any space that can take it that we're not using that can hold it, fill it up.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing this with us. Is there anything else that you wanted to highlight that maybe we didn't talk about today? We kind of cover.
I feel like those are like the big talking points.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's absolutely amazing. Even how I came about this was, I know Sarah Francis, you posted about it on social media and I was like, wow, this needs to be talked about. Like this needs to get out there. This needs to encourage other folks to look down this path. Because I know people that have played around with this concept, but not done it fully to the extent that you all have, which is clearly a lot of work. So a lot of credit to you for doing that and seeing it through, especially during a pandemic. So add that extra layer.
Yeah.
But thank you for joining us today. For folks that are listening or watching, I will include links, pictures, some other things along with the show notes. So if you want to dig in a little bit more, you absolutely can. To get some great ideas from these wonderful folks and the stuff they're doing at Marshall. So thanks for joining us and have a great rest of your day.